Hello, everyone. Welcome to the June 13th Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force call. I'm going to go through some boilerplate messaging like we usually do at the beginning, and then we'll get going with our agenda, that is the plug fest, the JFF VCHU plug fest recap. Okay, first, IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. You can do this by first creating an account. I'll put the link in the chat. So create an account at WCG. I'm sorry, C3. And then you can create a, you can join the CCG account, join the CCG using this account with this link in the chat. Okay, please note that these meetings are recorded. We have a robot transcriber, and we also do an audio recording and a video recording most times. It should be a video recording for this call. So if you would like to participate in the chat, then please queue yourself. We use that that system. So if you are looking to ask a question or join or have join in the conversation or ask us to call on you, please use queue plus, add yourself to the queue, and then you can use queue minus to remove yourself from the queue. Okay, before we get started, what we always like to do is see if there's anybody new to this call who would like to introduce themselves. And if there is someone new to the call, if you could cue yourself, we would love to hear from you. Is there anyone new today? And also, while we're waiting to see if folks are going to cue themselves, keep in mind that the robot transcriber sometimes, actually pretty often, misunderstands us. So if you see something in the chat that you think should be fixed, you can do that. You can help us out with the minutes by typing the following in the chat. Flip it to fix. You put /, the wrong term, and then the correct term. Thank you. Okay, so MLEN Web _, you're in the queue. You have the floor.
Hi, this is my first time joining this meeting. I'm Morgan Lemmerweber, and I am working with Digital Bazaar doing communications, so I am mostly observing at this point.
Thank you, Morgan. It's great to have you here.
Thanks.
Okay, the queue is empty. Is there anybody who wants to do reintroductions or updates on work that you've been doing that you'd like to tell us about? So you can add yourself to the queue. Thank you, Manu and Stuart. Okay, next, does anybody have any announcements or reminders? Anything that is going on that they want to let folks know about? One thing we normally tell folks about is if you want to know about other meetings going on in the CCG community, you can go to this link. Manu, you have the floor.
Hey, yeah, so I'm trying to find a link. I should have found this before. Let me see, LPG charter. So the really great news is that the Verifiable Credentials 2.0 working group, passed, the charter vote, passed, with flying colors, like really, really strong support for Verifiable Credentials at W3C. There was one formal objection, but that was addressed with a suggestion. Well, that was I'll put in the pull request here. So this is all public information I'm sharing. Mozilla had objected to the group mainly because we didn't mandate testing as an exit criteria for the work that we were doing. We kind of sort of did. That's usually left up to the working groups, but Mozilla wanted a stronger statement around testing. Mike Prorok, our CCG chair, put some language in there that addressed Mozilla's concerns. Right now, the plan seems to be to use some of the CCG test suites that we've been experimenting with over the past couple of months to support the exit criteria for the verifiable credentials 2.0 working group. So this is great news. It means that the 2.0 work is going to start soon. The charter has basically gone out to be approved by W3C management, which is usually just an administrative thing. We expect to start meeting before the W3C technical plenary meeting, which happens in September. So if you're a W3C member, actually, even if you're a community group, a participant, you can go to that meeting, and participate, in meetings there. That's happening in Vancouver, this year. So it's a hybrid meeting. It's remote attendance and in-person attendance. In September. So that's the great news is verifiable credentials to a working group passed a hurdle. We were really concerned about there being formal objections, but there was only one and that's been addressed, and the group's moving forward. The next charter that is of relevance is the RDF dataset canonicalization and hashing working group. That's the thing that we need to like format verifiable credentials so that they can be signed. The vote for that closes today. There are no formal objections so far. So unless something comes in at the last second, we hope that that charter to pass as well. So that's good. I mean, that means that, you know, our CCG pipeline for creating working groups and moving work that we've been working in the CCG and elsewhere into global standards bodies, you know, is working and it's healthy. Like there's a tremendous amount of support for it based on the votes that we saw. And so, yeah, that's it. Just good news, you know, across the board.
Maya, that's great news. Thank you so much for telling us about it. Is there a way to, you know, just sort of briefly let us know maybe what you see coming forward, as part of the 2.0?
Yeah. So the charter, we had to be very explicit about, you know, everything we were going to work on in the charter. Largely, let's see, I'll put the charter in here. So there's a link to the charter there. Chairing the group this time is Brent Zundel, from Avast and Christina Yasuda from Microsoft. Yvonne Herman, is our staff contact and has been for, I mean, over a decade now, I think. A lot of the work is going to focus on the crypto suite. So the actual digital signature stuff, the proofs. So there's a lot of work around, you know, the digital signatures that go, into a verifiable credential. There's also an opening to refine the data model and work on things like display characteristics of a credential, descriptions. So we can update the core model, as well, depending on needs. So verifiable credentials, verifiable presentations, requests for verifiable credentials and verifiable presentations. So data models around, requesting credentials, kind of issuing credentials, things of that nature. There was a pretty strong line drawn in the sand by a couple of W3C members so that we would not be able to work on protocols normatively, but we were able to get in that we were definitely going to work on protocols in a non-normative way, provide guidance around you know, protocol usage and the VC data model. The doors open for enhancing verifiable credential interoperability by working on extension vocabularies like mobile driver's license, like maybe open badges, citizenship vocabulary for like, you know, permanent resident cards, traceability stuff. So we are able to also work on extension vocabularies, in that working group. The lifetime of the working group's 2 years, from its start. That's it.
That's great. Thank you, Manu. Dimitri, you have the floor.
Yes, thanks. quick question, Manu. Do you foresee any of the work being incubated in the VC API task force to make it into the VC working group as a non-normative note?
We can't do it as a normative note.
Non-normative specifically.
Oh, sorry. Non-normative. Yes, absolutely. That was the goal. I mean, there are a number of us that are really pushing hard, for that. We wanted it as a normative thing, but, like I said, there was one company, particularly that pushed back really strongly against that. And so there's a question about how we're going to do it, right? I mean, cause the VC API stuff is being incubated in CCG, and there's a question of like, okay, is the VC2 working group going to snapshot that work every now and then? Are they going to actually move it into the working group? And so that will become like a working group, work item. And if that happens, how do the CCG folks participate? So that's still up for debate, but I think, yes, there are a number of us that are going to push very hard for publishing that as a non-normative note. And the reason we're doing that is to set up the next rechartering to work on protocols. So, you know, issuance protocols, verification protocols, presentation protocols, that kind of thing. So all the stuff that we're doing in like JFF and incubating and all that kind of stuff, the hope is that we're going to learn from all the plug fests. That's going to influence the VC API and any other protocol work. And then that is going to become normative work after this next iteration of the working group. Did that address your question, Dimitri?
It did. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you very much for that update. The only other announcement that I have, I think the queue is empty, is just a reminder to sign up for the VC Edu email list. I'm going to put that link here in the chat. On this page, it's actually the archives page. And there is a link towards like the top middle that says subscribe to this list, which will just be a mail to link where you can join the list. We're having more and more discussions there, especially about the plug fest and the upcoming number 2 plug fest. So it'd be great if you aren't on there to join in so that you can participate in this conversation. I don't see anybody else in the queue here. So why don't we get started with our agenda? I'm going to share my slides and bear with me while I do this. Actually, before I share the slides, I'm going to give you a link to the slides so that you have them in case you lose me for some sort, you will have these slides. There you go. So these are the slides where we're going to be discussing, sort of doing a recap of what happened at the JFF VC Edu Plugfest and what our next steps are going to be. Let me share that screen now. Okay. Trying to do this. Hold on one moment here. Does anybody see my slides right now?
Not yet.
I should see. Dimitri, will you do me a favor? See if you can share them, because I think you have the link.
Sure. Sure. Thank give me a sec.
While Dimitri's doing that, I can tell you a little bit of what happened. So we held the Plug Fest last Monday, in New Orleans prior to the JFF Horizons conference. And, on the call today are folks who participated. Oh, thank you, Dimitri. Yeah, if you go all the way to the top, that would be great. On the call today are some of the participants and also Sharon Liu, who, has really been leading this effort towards interoperability in education. And then, Dimitri and I and Simone as part of, VC Edu co-chairs help coordinate this. And, I also want to give a shout out to Phil Long, who, took great notes all day for us. Okay. I put Hello World on there because this is essentially what this was. You can move there. That's fine. And Marty, Fernanda really just sort of named that for us, and it made a lot of sense to us. So the whole point of this Plugfest was to display an open badge in a verifiable credential wallet. And this is part of the team. This is the team that really sort of worked on this, led by Sharon and with some definitely a lot of support from Joan Lee and then Kim Hamilton Duffy and the co-chairs. Okay, could you move to the next slide, please, Dimitri? Thank you. I stole this description of the Plugfest from Sharon's introduction email. So Sharon, I'm going to let you take it from here, but I'll read it out loud and then you can see if there's anything else to add. I modified it a little bit. But the point of the JFF and the VCHU Plugfest is to encourage development of a large and active marketplace of learning and employment records, friendly technology tools and infrastructure for the community to demonstrate true multi-vendor, multi-platform, this robot is writing over me, interoperability in alignment with the VC, DID, and EDGE standards. Those are the standards that we've been focused on. We didn't really focus on protocols and really not too much with DIDs or signatures, but really just display of the open badges 3.0 standard. Sharon, do you have anything to add to that in terms of describing what the Plugfests are?
This is a good description. I guess the only thing that I would add is that I think that this is not, for JFF, this is not just a technical exercise. Our actual end goal is that there is interoperability of credentials for people. So we have a theory of change around lifelong learning credential, lifelong learning. And in order to make that a reality for people, we want learners and workers to be able to collect a large number of the credentials that they've earned, regardless of where those credentials were issued. So whether formal institutions, informal education, the workplace, the military, community service, any credential that attests to a person's abilities and skills, we want them to be able to curate them themselves and create presentations to pursue opportunities. So that is our ultimate goal for why we are pursuing this in a Plugfest kind of way.
Thanks, Sharon. Dimitri, on the next slide, I just put a little bit about JFF, in which I think Sharon mostly described just then. Sharon, do you have anything else you want to add about JFF overall?
I guess the only one thing I'll add, not about JFF necessarily, is that JFF is working with support from the Walmart Foundation, as well as with our partners at the National Governors Association and a large number of organizations that are part of the National LER Advisory. So I'll just say that.
Great, thank you. And so from the VC EDGE Plugfest objectives, these are the ones that I listed, but Dimitri, feel free to jump in if you have others. But, you know, part of our charter is really to align education, training, and achievement data standards with the verifiable credentials model. Also to increase understanding about verifiable credentials in education training, really provide a place for us to collaborate and work together towards this. And then also number three, I think that's important, that we want to recognize the vendors and the organizations who are working towards interoperability. We really appreciate the work that you do. We know that it's good for your software and your projects, but also it's really good for the broader community. And Dimitri, do you have any other objectives that you would add to this?
No, I think that's, I think those were our main ones. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Next slide. Okay, so these were the requirements for this Plugfest. We asked that the wallets display a VC in the version of an Open Badge 3.0 that we provided them. Open Badges is not a Open Badge 3.0 has not been released yet, but we set up a pilot version of this to be used specifically for this Plugfest. So we asked them to display the badge, their wallet, to display a badge image, which, by the way, is not actually required as part of 3.0, but we thought it'd be important to do that anyway as part of this. And it brought up really good questions. Also to display the issuer name, the achievement description, and the achievement criteria. And then optionally, we said you could also be great if you want to display other fields, such as the issuer logo or other open badges terms. And then as a stretch goal, we said, hey, if you can also demonstrate that you are verifying this badge data, that would be great. We didn't require it. Okay, next slide. So this is our list of participants. We had a lot of participants. It was great. We weren't sure who would participate, and everyone did a really good job. We had some people in person, and we had others participating virtually in very different time zones, which we appreciate. And we had everyone create a short video, about 3 minutes long, that demonstrated what they did for the PlugFest and how they met these requirements. And what I'd like to do is show you three of those videos, because they're very short, and I think you might find it interesting. We do have a list of all of the videos available, but I thought we'd want to show them today, just three of them. And Dimitri, because you're controlling the sharing, I'm going to put links in the chat. Do you mind playing them?
Not at all. Go ahead.
Share my screen. Thank you. All right, the first one is Matters video. I don't hear any audio. Do you hear audio?
No audio, but I know, and this is a dangerous thing, you can share video in Jitsi and provide the direct YouTube link, and it will play for everyone, I think. But I've never used the feature, so I have no idea.
One second, I'm going to try it out right now.
You try it? Okay, go for it. Brave New World.
Yep. Ready? How's this?
Video is sharing, but not the audio still.
Okay, 1 second. I think it says that people need to consent to it. Give me just a second. You need to stop screen sharing before sharing audio. You need to restart screen sharing and click screen share, audio share. Okay, got it. So 1 second.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, one moment. Okay, here we go. Better?
We can hear it, but we can't see it.
This video is Matters submission for the JFF Control PlugFest 1. For completeness, we're going to show an example issue.
All right, one more try. This is apologies for the delay. I'm really curious to learn how to do this for future as well. So, okay, 1 second. So.
Yeah, all good.
Okay. Yep. I think I see it. Chrome tab, share audio. Here we go.
Journey of the
Better?
Got it. Yes.
Yay.
Submission for the JFF Interop PlugFest 1. For completeness, we're going to show an example assurance journey of the Open Badge Achievement Credential using Matters OIDC credential provider. The completion of this flow will result in the credential being stored and be visible in the Matter wallet. We'll start the process by using the wallet to scan a QR code that contains the discovery URL for a credential offer. The offer then gets displayed for the holder to review and decide whether to proceed with claiming the credential into their wallet. The wallet initiates an OIDC flow through an external web view that allows the holder to authenticate themselves against the JFF identity provider. The claims from the OIDC token are mapped into a verifiable credential and bound to the holder's DID. The Open Badge Achievement Credential is then stored in the holder's wallet and made available for viewing and presentation. The Matter wallet renders the display of the credential by first checking if the credential type stated in the credential itself has a corresponding layout that can be utilized when displaying the credential and the wallet itself. In this case, the credential type is the Open Badge Credential, which does have a pre-existing overlay and is used to display the credential that we can see here. Let's take a quick look at some of the additional elements displayed as part of the credential. First, you'll notice a green verified label at the top of the credential. This indicates to the holder that the credential has been verified by the wallet and is confirmed as valid, meaning it hasn't been tampered with or revoked. We see at the bottom of the credential display that the issuer's name and web domain also have a green tick next to them. This signals that the issuer's DID document was successfully resolved, is valid, and in this case, because we've used a DID web, is correctly bound to the mentioned web domain. Lastly, let's take a look at the JSON source behind the credential. If we start from the top, we see the credential type we've mentioned before is included in the credential type array. Inside the issuer block, the issuer of this credential is represented by a DID web. And just under that is the name of the credential itself, which is what gets displayed as the main heading of the credential in the wallet. The credential subject reflects each of the claims that are being displayed by the wallet, including the image which has been resolved from the URI. As well as the claims, the subject block also contains the binding of the credential to the wallet through the holder's DID. In this case, a DID key is used to represent the holder. This credential is revocable, so references a revocation list and a specific index on that list, which is carried through the credential and checked by the wallet to display the credential status as part of the UI. Finally, the bottom section of the raw credential is the proof, which in this case has been created over the JSON-LD credential using the ED25519 2018's cryptographic suite. Thanks for watching this walkthrough of Matter's submission for Phase 1 of the JFF Interop Plugfest.
Thanks, Dimitri. You just want to move on and show the next two?
Hello everyone, this is Guillermo Elizondo from Territorium. First, we are going to give you a brief introduction about our product and about the company, and then we will show you the demo for the Plugfest. So, as Territorium, we believe that learning happens everywhere, in a classroom, outside the classroom, and we create a full comprehensive learner record for each student in which we map learning experiences to the skills and competencies that they are mastering. But on the other side, we strongly believe that we need to help students to move from education to work. So we don't only create a record, but we really create a full ecosystem in which we help students navigate to career pathways. We tell them their probabilities of success towards getting a certain job, earning a certain amount of money. We tell them which are their gaps and give them recommendations of courses so that they can improve their profiles, and we connect them directly to jobs. So we are all about creating a workforce connectivity ecosystem. So we pull data from job posting sites and we create a full profile of what's required. We map that back to the job market requirement. We map that back to the learning experiences and finally create a full profile of the student that we store in the data wallet. We use that data to compare that to the requirements of employers. We find gaps and then we go back and give students recommendations of learning experiences to fill all those gaps. And at the same time, we connect them directly to possible jobs that they can apply. So this is basically creating a full workforce connectivity ecosystem. Now we will show you the demo. So you're seeing our smart wallet. As we get into our smart wallet, the students can navigate to multiple career pathways. They can see their opportunity fit. We map all their credentials and micro certifications to the job market requirements. They can see their progress towards getting the jobs that they want, the multiple career pathways they can pursue, and they can also explore learning experiences and how that will improve their profiles towards getting the jobs that they want. Now we will show you the data wallet. Here is where we store basically all the credentials of the student. As you can see here, we have the JFF badges for the Plugfest, Open Badges 3.0. So here we can see one of them. It's already verified. We can see the achievement, the name, the description, the criteria type, the criteria narrative, the image, and the issuer. So we have all the data within our platform. Now we will show you how we can import a credential. or a batch. Here you can upload files, URL, or the JSON. We will show you the JSON so that you can see that we are using what JFF provided. We click save. It tells us it's a success. Now we can see the batch is not verified yet. So as we click on the batch, then we can verify it. We use all the process with the key and the ID to show this verification. As you can see now we can see all the data related to it and even the logo of JFF as an issuer. So this is basically our demo. Thank you very much for your time today.
Do you mind pasting a link to the Veris video? The link on the slide goes to the site. Thank you.
Thanks, I'll fix those slides.
Digital Bazaar is pleased to contribute to the VCEDU Interoperability Plugfest, sponsored by Jobs for the Future. Our mission is to help build a web we can trust. Our software enables privacy-preserving digital identity for individuals and organizations. We have been leaders in the web standards community for over 15 years and have worked to encourage the adoption of decentralized identity standards by government and industry consortia. This Plugfest is part of our commitment to true interoperability, attracting customers by providing software solutions that work within the larger ecosystem, not trying to lock those customers into proprietary solutions. The Digital Bazaar team has authored or edited many W3C standards track documents. We'd like to highlight verifiable credentials, decentralized identifiers, and WebKMS as open standards that directly support the digital wallet shown in this video. Thank you to the Credentials Community Group for advancing this important work. Our product is the Veris Wallet, an interoperable digital wallet that can manage privacy-preserving identity and verifiable credentials for a wide range of daily activities. You can find more information at veris.io. Veris Wallet can support age verification, government identity, finance, supply chain, and education applications, including the verifiable job skills use cases pioneered by JFF and the Open Badge communities. Interoperability means being able to receive, display, verify, and present a digital credential that communicates these different statements, issued by anyone, including individuals or organizations using competing products. In this Plugfest, you'll see a demonstration of the Veris Wallet display an Open Badge version 3 verifiable credential that communicates a job skill or achievement, including multiple data elements specified in the Open Badge standard. The user opens her Veris Wallet mobile app and authenticates with her digital wallet in the cloud. The wallet hits a demo issuer endpoint, which issues a mock Open Badge version 3 verifiable credential. The user inspects the credential and stores it in her digital wallet. The Open Badge credential is now available in the wallet. The user presses Show Details to inspect the credential. It displays an issuer name and logo, an achievement name, description and criteria, and a badge image. In this case, the example credential states that Jane Doe's wallet has passed the JFF Plugfest interoperability criteria. Congratulations, Jane.
I really like how that one ends. Dimitri, do you mind showing the slides again? Thank you very much for doing that.
Of course, no problem.
Those are just three of the amazing videos. I mean, there are so many more, so I'm going to put a link in case you didn't grab the slides. This is a link to all of the videos, which I highly suggest you take a few minutes to check them out. They're all very short, and you'll learn about all of the work going on in our community, and I think that's great. The next slide, please. So I'd like to, while I just go through these, what I think some of our achievements are. I was wondering if some of the wallet providers may queue themselves up just for a few questions from us or also from anybody who's here. So these are things that I thought really that we achieved, some of the things. So one, we introduced VC wallet vendors to education data centers. They were familiar with them. They hadn't really heard about them. And there they were displaying them and, but for the most part, let us know that it wasn't so hard to do that, which was great to hear. And then we also introduced education and workforce platforms to verifiable credentials. So that was a great exchange. Also, we learned new questions about displaying education credentials and that we can tackle as part of the task force, the VC Edu task force. We learned a lot about what onboarding resources are needed, and we need a lot of onboarding resources. The demos prompted questions about policy and timing. And we had a lot of folks who were watching the demos who were not technical, who are, you know, determining policy and thinking about policy, who asked some excellent questions. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, can't recall, but this was about a four hour long, event. And we had over, at one point, about 54 people on Zoom who stayed on for almost the whole time. Right, which was really, really great. And then also, I thought this was great. As somebody who's been working at Open Badges for a long time, this was the first time that Open Badges 3.0 were sort of issued, but mostly displayed. And I just sort of want to reflect that it was almost exactly a year ago that this task force decided to pursue doing this work of aligning education standards directly with the VC model. Prior to this, we were talking about this LER wrapper model. And this decision initiated two charters at IMS Global, which is now one EdTech org, I think, for both Open Badges and the CLR. And also the Open Badges and CLR decided to align their models to describe achievements. And then on top of that, we also achieved having additional alignment with Credential Engine for the achievement type property. So it's like three standards that were aligned as part of this work. And even though this Plugfest was a little bit early, it still, was really sort of a great achievement and great to see this happen. Both Open Badges and the CLR should be released as a candidate release by the end of this month. So for me personally, anyway, I just want to say that this is a huge step forward. And I want to thank Open Badges and the CLR working group members and, of course, this community for making all of that happen. Let me see if we have anybody in the queue. Evan, would you like to have the floor?
Oh, sure. I thought the queue was for questions, but I can provide some comments about our Plugfest experience if you'd like.
Well, I do have a question for you, too.
Sure.
What did you think this Plugfest achieved, and what do you think you achieved as part of this?
Oh, that's a great question. That's going to be my comment, too, so good, timely question. The Plugfest was a good first step. I think you mentioned that it was kind of a hello world. Displaying the credential, is a nice first step toward interoperability. But I think the main takeaway for us was how it was fairly straightforward to do because of the solid alignment with the standards that you mentioned on this slide. So the fact that Open Badge version 3 has aligned with some of the other W3C standards means that it's, fairly straightforward to integrate this with a wallet that supports other types of credentials unrelated to skills or education. And that's very exciting to us. The vision of a digital wallet that can handle lots of different types of credentials curated by the holder that can speak to really any aspect of their daily life, I think is the reason that this group is so excited about working on this. So I'm guessing the other companies feel this way too. And we're glad that these standards are aligning to make that possible.
Excellent. Thank you, Evan. Mm-hmm. Dimitri.
I think the other thing that the Plugfest achieved is to, and we're going to talk about this in just a bit, but I want to highlight it. It started the process of setup and planning for the next InteropFest. Specifically, it made a lot of development teams start thinking about and start planning the specifics of, okay, so right now we're just displaying
and getting credentials into the wallet somehow. But for the next one, we're going to have to pick some protocols, some issuing protocols and some verification protocols. And we're going to pick which DID methods we support and which cryptography suites we're going to use with those DID methods. So it made a lot of dev teams open up a lot of specs and documentation and start planning, which is always important.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Marty? Hey, Marty, we can't hear you.
How about now?
Yes. Thank you.
Perfect. Sorry. So I just wanted to commend the team that put this Plugfest together, because I felt like it was from the Plugfest that we've been a part of over the past few years. It was, I feel like, one of the most productive approaches to a Plugfest. And so just kudos to you, Carrie, Dimitri, Sharon, like really, really amazing work. And I'm excited about the next version of this. And I've actually been sharing this model with others that are talking about Plugfest, because of what I feel was a great success. So just well done.
Thanks, Marty. That's great. Appreciate that. And, you know, I'm just going to say again that Sharon really has been the visionary for all of this. And, you know, we've mostly have been supporting her through this. And actually, Sharon, I'm going to hand this over to you to say a little bit about that and also talk about the roadmap for what we're planning next. And we'll leave the queue open if anybody else has questions.
Thanks, Carrie. And I guess I'll say one thing is I said this last Monday, but I'll say it again. I actually severely underestimated the amount of interest that there would be in this activity. Initially, when we had chatted about it, we thought, oh, it would be no problem to bring just a few people to New Orleans. There's already hotel space that we don't have to pay extra for, and it would be a great opportunity to work together. I didn't anticipate that so many people would be interested in this, and I think that as the development of this continued, I think that I quickly realized why people were interested. So I was like most encouraged by that. And as we're thinking about this roadmap, one of the things, I forgot to say, so I apologize and really thank all of you who stayed on the line during the Zoom. I realized that there were some logistical challenges with the audio and video, and that was because we had not rehearsed it prior. And so the challenges of a hybrid in person are just the way that they are, and we should have known better by now because we were all locked in our houses for 2 years. But anyhow, thank you for sticking with us during, like, I guess some of the very choppiness, especially in the beginning. So moving forward, we are going to have a conversation about what is the best way to work on this and work all together. We have been floating a number of ideas, and I think they'll tend towards either an all in-person or all virtual. But like I said, open to your input on that. So that's like one thing that we're like talking about as far as Plugfest 2. The second is on our roadmap, actually, we had thought that the next logical step in the progression of this was to start having conversations about issuing verifiable credentials. So in this Plugfest, you know, I'm glad, Marty, you enjoyed it in the end, because I was concerned you thought it was too easy when you called it Hello World. But the next time we want to actually start having conversations about what does it look like to issue credentials, not to your own wallet, and to someone else's wallet, or for your wallet to accept verifiable credentials issued by other wallets. And there are some, I think, more difficult questions that we're going to have to answer. And so I think that was in our minds the next logical progression. However, we did hear some feedback that perhaps going towards verifiers might be the right way to go. And I'm a little bit curious what this group thinks.
I David C., you have the floor.
Thank you. What I would say about the roadmap is that actually 2 and 2.5 are in the wrong order, because you have to agree on protocols before you do either issuing to other wallets or you do exporting and presenting to other verifiers. So after you decide the DID methods, the next thing is to define the protocols, because we can't do anything without the protocols.
Thank you, David. Evan?
Yeah, we had assumed that those protocols were baked into the DID methods discussion just as part of the practical, you know, how we get from here to there. So I think the communication of the verifiable credential from the issuer to the wallet is going to be an important discussion for PlugFest 2, as is the DID methods that we use. And we heard, I think in one of the previous meetings, that there might be some overlapping solutions. So certainly different folks are going to present different DID methods, for example, that could be candidates, and the same with issuing. We are working on a tool which we should be able to release to the group next week, that uses one of the issuance and communication protocols, the Credential Handler API, that would allow folks to basically have a sandbox, an open sandbox that they can use to push credentials into their wallet with the Credential Handler API. So I can drop a link in the chat to the W3C standards track stuff related to Chappie, if anyone's interested. And then when that tool is available, we'll let the group know.
Thank you, Evan. Nate, you have the floor.
Cool, thanks. I plus one the idea of talking about protocols and just, you know, helping this journey of credential from its issuer to the wallet. That's a really important phase. And then, of course, the protocols that support the journey of from the wallet to the verifier onward can be a further exploration phase. I'd also like to promote maybe the idea that we talk about the place that trust registries have within this market and explore whether there is a PlugFest option that would help the market sort of get essential capabilities around understanding which issuers should be trusted to issue which credentials by which verifiers at some point in our long interoperability journey.
Thank you, Nate. Trust registries are definitely something we all need to be talking about very soon. So that's an interesting idea to do as part of this. Manu, you have the floor.
Yeah, plus one to Nate's comment on trust registries. It keeps coming up across various different industries, not just like education, but it's come up on the citizen identity, you know, stuff that DHS is doing. It's coming up in, you know, retail and there's some simple solutions out there, but I don't think we've really had a chance to dive into those deeply. So plus one to that. The reason I put myself on the queue was to note two things. In the prior DHS SVIP PlugFest, we had used Chappie, the Credential Handler API, to demonstrate cross-vendor issuance and presentation. That was 2 years ago. In the updates that Evan's mentioning extend Chappie to native wallets as well. So, later on, this week, as Evan mentioned, we'll be releasing a bunch of documentation on upgrades to Chappie that, get it to work, with native apps, on mobile devices, native apps on the desktop, while also supporting web-based issuance, web-based verification. So it's kind of an all-in-one solution to doing all of that, as well as, you know, working with browsers that have typically had struggled a bit with Chappie, like Brave and iOS Safari. We've got some new updates and fixes for that as well. We found that to be the easiest way to do integration, at least from an interoperability perspective, and it supports both issuance and verification. As well as, you know, some other higher order concepts like revocation and credential refresh and things of that nature using VC API. So I don't know if I quite agree with David's assertion that we should do verification first, because you've got to do all of it, right? And whether you're doing issuance or whether you're doing presentation in Chappie is really, it's not that different from each other. So all that to say, you know, looking at the demos, what people actually showed, I noticed quite a bit of like issuance and verification already happening, right? I mean, like if you look at some of these things, solutions, they're already using protocols to do issuance and do verification. So I think really the conversation is around, okay, how many of these are using which protocol to do issuance and how many of these are using which protocol to do verification, and how quickly can we get those protocols integrated with the applications that don't do those things currently. So we are, as Evan mentioned, we are absolutely planning to provide tooling for GFF PugFest specifically around Chappie on presentation, issuance, you know, over Chappie to both native apps and web-based apps. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Dimitri.
I want to plus one to the comments that Nate and Manu gave about two things. One is that in certain ways, it doesn't matter which we do first, because we're definitely going to get to both. We're going to get to PlugFests that will test both issuance and interop. But having said that, I do think personally that of the two, issuance is the more important one because it's the higher risk. Because verifying is much easier than it is to issuing, I think as a community, we're fairly comfortable that the various verification libraries or standalone services like the Universal Verifier will be able to handle pretty much everything. Whereas there's still very much held breath and edge of the seat expectation to see which issuing protocols will be supported and really will issuers be able to issue to multiple wallets? Because that's the key. That's what we win or lose by. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Dimitri. Bill? Phil, we can't hear you if you're speaking right now. Phil Long. Okay, we can come back to Phil because we're running low on time. Oliver?
Hi. So regarding issuance verification protocols, I think we should talk about requirements first before selecting a protocol. And in my opinion, it would also make sense to have a technical meeting with the implementers of those wallets to speak about what are the best options for the protocols. And I also agree with Manu that looking at the table, the spreadsheet, and check what are implementers currently using, and then perhaps just see where the majority of people has preferences to selecting those options.
Yeah, thank you. We will definitely be having more discussions about this. Manu, you have the floor.
Yeah, it's more of a question. So we're trying to figure out, I think one of the big things we all want to get to is like, okay, what are the protocols that these wallets are going to use to move things around? That can be a much bigger step than issuance and verification on their own. So for example, you know, the Verifiable Credential API has very straightforward APIs for issuance and verification, and we can, test issuance and verification using just the VC API. Now that doesn't get us all the way to wallet protocols doing issuance and verification, but it does get us to kind of a fundamental next step, which is can you issue and verify by a bunch of different arbitrary, you know, HTTP endpoints. So I was wondering if the, if what, what that level of interoperability played in the JFF Plugfest, if any, you know, would like proving issuance and verification at a more lower level meet some goals versus trying to like shoot for the moon and get wallet protocols issuing and verifying?
That is a good question, Manu, and I think we should keep that question open for now. So I don't think we're quite sure, but it's a good one to ask. Before we go to Dave, I'm going to try Phil again. See if he can join us. No, sorry, Phil, we still can't hear you. Oh, Phil, try now. Oh, sorry, David, why don't you go ahead? And then David, and then maybe Phil, we can try one more time, and then we're going to close up.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Dimitri, who made the comment that he thought that verification, I think he said a phrase, something like pretty much done. I think when we're working on this Plugfest, we should be picking the low-hanging fruit first, which is why Plugfest 1 was, you know, just easy to display. And if he thinks that verification is much, you know, nearly done, then we should pick that one next, because it's an easier step than the issuing, and then the final step should be the issuing. So I think we should take it easy and steady and try and ramp up and not go for the more difficult one first. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay, Phil, one more time. Can we hear you? All right, Phil, we can't hear you. Maybe you can keep trying to get your sound together. We're just going to move to the last slide, please. We can just talk about what does happen, next steps. Dimitri, could you move to slide 13 for me? And also, I would like to encourage everyone to have these conversations on the mailing list, on the VC Edu mailing list, so we can keep these going. And we will schedule times for us to meet and have these discussions. But we could start there and have a pretty robust discussion on the mailing list, I think, as we've seen before. And I'm sorry, Dimitri, go one slide back, the second to last slide, please. Okay, this is one thing I just wanted to mention, how to participate in this next Plugfest. So those who successfully met the requirements for this first one will receive this JFF VC Edu Plugfest batch. And so to participate in the next one, you must complete this batch, right? Because this is the most basic part of the project, right, is to be able to display a verifiable credential batch. So we will be going through all of the entries to make sure that everything works right. But also, you know, if you are interested in doing this, you can still do this. You can still participate in the second Plugfest if you want to prove that you've met the requirements for this one. So reach out to us if you're interested in that, and we'll get you going there. And do you have anything to add to that?
Nope, that's it. Anyone can play.
That's right. We want everyone to play. All right, Phil, I'm going to try you again. Can you, is your sound working? Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to the next one and all of our future meetings. Oh, and one quick note is that we are not going to have our meeting next Monday to observe Juneteenth. So keep that in mind. We'll send out a reminder about that. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.